Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Worshipper Podcast. And with me today is someone very special to me. It's my wife, Ruth Oladu. I'm so excited to really, you know, get to sit down with her. And so now you're going to see us how we really are in our marriage. So I just want to say, you know, I'm really excited for this episode, and I really pray that, you know, you will glean one or two things from the things we're going to talk about around worship and everything else. And yeah, I'm so excited. Let's get into it. So Ruth, thank you so much for coming on this podcast.
Sure.
You know, it's good to have you here. It's a pleasure to meet you. Even though we live in the same house.
Yeah.
But I know that this is something I've wanted to do, and thank you for being supportive of it. Mm-hmm. And for jumping on it, and for, you know what, being my guest on this episode. So of course you're my wife, and we've been married for over 6 years now.
Yeah,
which is crazy. I'm not sure how that happened, but for the sake of those who don't know who you are, would you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Ruth Oladaru. Obviously, I'm the wife of Tim. I'm a lifestyle content creator. I'm a worship leader. I'm also a project manager, actually. And yeah, I just love to, you know, share, show care, and, you know, positively affect people around me with the things that I do.
Yeah. So that's quite an introduction. You're also a mom.
Yes,
I am. Mom of two boys. Two big boys.
Yeah. Right. Two bouncing boys is what I like to call them. They're hardly on their seat. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So let's get started. Let's start with something a little bit fun. What are your three favorite worship songs of all time? I know you probably have more than that, but just give me
so
three.
Hard.
What are your three top favorite worship songs of all time?
Okay. So top three favorite worship songs of all time. First one for me is Alpha and Omega by...
Okay, wait.
Yeah, okay.
Because you're a singer, you have to sing at least one or two lines of any song you mentioned. Yeah, yeah. Because people may not know what song you're talking about. So they need to be able to listen to it, to go find it if they like it. So give us one or two lines of each song that you pick as your favorite.
Okay.
So Alpha and Omega, go.
You are Alpha and Omega, we worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Good.
You know the song, of course.
Okay, all right, next one.
My second favorite song of all time, worship songs, right? Or like just gospel worship.
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, this is so hard. You know what? I changed my mind because I was thinking about this previously. Anyway, okay. Total Praise.
Okay.
Richard Smallwood, right?
Yeah, Richard Smallwood. Yeah. No, you got to sing it. One or two lines.
You are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my life. I lift my hands in total praise to you. I actually just sang the Fred Hammond version.
I was going to say that. That was not the original version.
Sorry, that was the Fred Hammond version, but it is, you know.
Okay, go on.
Yeah. No, it's the same song, different version. Sorry, guys.
Okay, no worries. Okay.
And then I would have to say my last one would probably be, I don't know. Oh, this is hard. Sorry. This is so difficult. Okay. My third favorite gospel songs or worship songs of all time has to be, you know what? I would say Agnes Day.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Michael W. Smith.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You got to sing it. Sing it. Because some people didn't even know that that's the title of the song.
Yeah, I know, right? So they think it's what is it?
Worthy is the Lamb.
Yeah. You are holy, holy are you, Lord God. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the song, yeah.
Awesome. All right. So now tell me, who are your three favorite gospel artists of all time? Top three. Yeah.
This is difficult.
Welcome to the podcast.
I think from my experience, okay, obviously it's my experience, right? And basically what I learned from there, I would say top three, it would have to be, I have to give props to people like Mary.
Okay.
Because they really started me on that journey of, oh, this is gospel music. Oh, what is gospel music all about, you know? I would say Israel and New Breed.
Yeah.
Because from them I learned praise worship Israel, all that stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you have to give it props to Integrity Music, Ron Canole, Don Moen, all that stuff. But yeah, mm-hmm. I think they were my era. Like, you know, mm-hmm. the albums were coming out at the same time I was growing in my faith. Yeah. And I'm going to merge two together because they're from Africa. Nathaniel Bassey and Intercoso Mambo.
Yes.
Just phenomenal worship leaders, phenomenal people. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those are my favorite too. Nathaniel Bassey, of course.
Yeah.
All right. So since this is a worship podcast, I have to ask you, what does worship mean to you? Sing it.
Okay. The thing is, I feel like people say this all the time and it's super cliche.
Okay.
But worship to me is my lifestyle. What I present on a daily basis mm-hmm. to God. Mm-hmm. It's how I think, how I speak, how I talk, what I say to people, what I think about other people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's basically my life mm-hmm. as worship to God, you mm-hmm. know? So mm-hmm. I just feel like it. Everyone says it, worship is your lifestyle, and it really, really is, so.
Right. Okay, and I totally agree with that. It's more than a song. It's more than...
Yeah.
It's an, you know, music is a way of expressing.
Absolutely.
One of the ways.
Absolutely.
But not the only way of expressing worship. So it goes deeper and it's way more than just singing cute songs.
Yeah.
Your heart, your life is got to be right. Yeah. And I've always said this, God is not seeking worship. There's nowhere in the Bible that says God seeks worship, but the Bible said Jesus is seeking true worshipers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who will worship in spirit and in truth. Yeah. So there's a kind of worship that God is looking for, not just any. And if you now think about the worship in spirit and in truth, that means lifestyle does matter.
Yeah, agreed.
The life you live matters. Mm-hmm. The container matters. The person, even like Romans 12 says about offering up to God as our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It said that's your spiritual act of worship.
Agreed.
So I totally agree with you. Yeah. It's more than just singing songs. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, and everything flows, like you said. From like you're saying, it's an outpour. Like what I do. So when I do lift up my voice, obviously I'm a worship leader, mm-hmm. right? So when I do lift up my voice to sing, it's coming from the outpour, like the mm-hmm. overflow of mm-hmm. my everyday today, and obviously my, you know, obviously devotional time. I'm not saying you don't have, mm-hmm. you know, times of devotion, like where mm-hmm. you're actually mm-hmm. meeting with God, but it's like everything you're doing should be in the consciousness of God, if that makes sense.
So you're a mother, you've got young kids, you're also a project manager and also a worship leader. How do you balance these things? How do you juggle them together?
I don't. And I think we need to start saying that.
Okay.
Being more honest. Like, there's no such thing as balance.
Okay.
If you pick something up and you're doing 100%, something else is having, like, a negative effect on it. Or, you know, you just drop the ball on another part mm-hmm, of it. Do you know what I mean? So, for me, there is no balance. It's making different things the priority. What is the priority for this moment? So, it's like, in the morning was my priority. Daytime was my priority. Evening was my priority. And that's how I balance it. Do you get what I mean? Okay. So, it's like... I'll be very honest, it's not every season that looks the same.
Yeah.
So when we had our two little ones, they were back to back. And so I was basically in postpartum phase for a longer period of time than maybe I would like to admit, because it was like, as I was leaving one, I went straight back into another one. And it's like, I'm dealing with one baby becoming a toddler and another baby.
For sure.
In that moment, I'm not sleeping. So to say, oh, let's wake up at 6 a.m. and have devotion, that's not what my devotion life looked at that time.
Right.
It's in the midnight time where the baby's crying. Maybe I'm trying to listen to a passage in scripture, maybe listen to some worship music. It's when I was doing the laundry, I'm putting on a podcast to hear about the word of God. Does that make sense? It's like, it looked different then. Now I can say for sure, I have designated times I can say, God, okay, it's me and you. This is our time, because guess what? My kids are sleeping through the night. You know, I do have a 9-to-5, so there's a time of day where I can't do anything that, you know, isn't work related, if that makes sense. But there's other times where, okay, maybe it's less busy right now. Guess what? I can, you know, schedule some time. So every season has looked different.
Right.
But like I said, it's about priorities. And I always say this to people, that God is kind and he understands your seasons of life as well. What matters is that you make him the priority in every season. So I don't have balance.
No, and that's so good. And like you said, the raw honesty about understanding your priority, and also knowing that some seasons you can do more, some seasons you can do less.
Yeah.
and you should be okay with that. And don't let someone guilt trip you.
Yeah, yeah.
For not doing more, because you're in a different season where you cannot actually give more. Because I know sometimes we come from a culture where, you know, when you're not doing more, you're not doing all these things, everybody feel like you are kind of, like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Get with the program kind of thing, right? And it's okay to admit that, you know what, I can only do 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I can only do 15 minutes today. I can only do 10 minutes. Like I said, the important thing is making God a priority in every season, no matter what season that looks like.
Yeah.
So, so thank you for sharing that. So can you share your journey into the worship ministry, how did you feel God called you into this space? Can you share that with us?
Yeah, sure. I would definitely say that it's just been my life. My parents were in church throughout, you know, my upbringing. But I feel like the time I can say that I knew that worship leading was something I wanted to do was when I became a teenager. Like, so I'd been doing for example, as a kid, I used to maybe like lead, you know, songs in church, but I didn't really know that that's worship leading. Do you know what I mean? It was when I gave my life to Christ, when I was, actually, I don't remember how old I was, but I was a young teenager. I gave my life to Christ and I just felt like God was doing a work in me. There were certain things, like I literally went from listening to like secular music, and I had all the posters, all the magazines. I don't know if you guys remember that time is the time when we used to rip CDs. Like I had albums and everything. Like I had the whole shebang. And it got to a point where I started throwing those things away. I noticed that my heart started changing towards other things. That's what I said. My journey, that's what I said. My journey started, like, I started listening to things like Mary, Kirk Franklin, Johnny McClurkin, like, all those people now started being what I started listening to. And because I could sing, I was kind of like pushed in the forefront. Like my youth lead at the time was like, oh yeah, you're going to lead worship. And I'm like, I don't even know what this is. But it was like a slow, like, I just felt like it was a slow move, like a slow changing of my heart towards the things of God. I would start reading my Bible. So I would say the time that I gave my life to Christ was the time that I knew that I think this is something I enjoy doing. It's like I'm also skilled at this. You know, so I realized I'm skilled at this. And then I started getting training and I was in the choir. I've been in the choir all my life, but it was like I was given more responsibility. And I think it was the time just before maybe like going to uni and all that fun stuff. So like late teen years, I would say, is when I was like, oh, actually, I am a worship leader. This is something I want to do. So I need to take this, you know, on like more seriously. So I was super young. Like I was super young when this change happened in my life. But obviously over time, at different phases of my life, there's I don't know if it's a renewing of a call or something. Like you feel once again, like, yeah, you need to be, you know, renewed, or I don't know, you're calling this renewed. I don't know how to put it into words, but yeah, I would say when I was much younger, like a teenager, I knew that this is something I'm going to do.
And how do you... Okay, because you can be a singer and not necessarily be a worship leader.
That's good.
So you believe you've been called into that ministry of leading worship and leading others in worship. How do you then... How do you function in that?
I think I had really great mentors.
Okay.
People that when they sang, the atmosphere changed. You could feel things changing. We saw the testimonies. We saw people, you know, deeply desiring God. We saw people deeply engaged in what we would call, you know, a worship service at that time. Do you get what I mean? So I think for me, it's knowing that I had something, I knew what it looked like. And so I kind of just started walking in that. Like I said, I don't think I knew initially that what worship leading was, but I saw something and I felt like I fit here, you know? And then even when I would lead worship, like in our youth church and things like that, I noticed that similar things would happen. Like, you know, we would all be engaged in worship. It was, I didn't find it difficult to like flow into songs, to get songs. And even in those times, I now started realizing that I'm doing things like prophetic worship. I didn't know it was prophetic worship at the time.
Right, gotcha. Okay.
Does that make sense? It's later, years later, that I look back and I'm now like, oh, wait, this is prophetic worship? So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I know you transitioned from, you moved from the UK to Canada, and obviously because of me.
Thanks.
But so I wanted to ask you, what was that transition like for you?
Yeah.
And is there anything that, let's say, that did to you as a worship leader?
Yeah. I mean, obviously we talk about this all the time. I definitely think my transition from the UK to Canada was really, really intense. Like, I didn't anticipate how difficult it was going to be. I know any transition is difficult, but this one knocked me off. Like, and I think the added layer was the fact that we went into COVID.
Right.
So it wasn't just, I've moved country, I've gotten married. We now, the whole world changed and was like, I'm trying to find my footing whilst the whole world is changing. There's not even a structure for me to even fit into right now. So one of the things it did is that it knocks my confidence because I'm trying to figure out where I fit in, right? So the normal outlets that maybe you would have to figure out what the land looks like were no longer there. Even in church, because church is all I knew. So I was like, oh, of course I'm going to go straight to church, join the choir, figure it out. And then we were like...
And we couldn't go to church.
We couldn't go to church, right? So I think I joined the choir for a few months and then it was straight to... I didn't join initially, right? So, and it was straight to pandemic. And then we moved as well because we moved in between our second year of marriage. So I think it has been difficult because... Yeah, it's the circumstances within and the circumstances around. So within, it's like, am I good enough? Where do I fit? How do I stand out? Do I even have a sound? What is the sound of the country? Like, it's just so many different layers. I think even us finding ourselves as a couple, like, you know, what are our roles? How do we steward our gifts together? I think that was another added layer as well. Obviously, you are super patient and kind. And I don't think we had, it's not like it was super difficult for me and you. We already knew ourselves, but it's still two people coming together, right? Of course, it's not natural. It's quite, can be friction there sometimes. But I think one of the practical things I did that's helped me even till now and with every transition is to give myself time.
Right.
You can't rush the process.
Nope.
And I think at one point I did want to, oh, let me release a song. Let me. And it's like, it would always fall through because it's like, it's not time.
Yeah.
You don't even know yourself right now. Like, so I would say one thing I did was I allowed myself to take the time I needed, even though I did, you know, push against. The other thing is I would stay up to date with what's happening. What I mean by up to date is I'm not looking for the current songs, the trending songs. No, it's more like just staying in that place. Like, not try not to drift, you know, okay. Learn the songs. Because again, I didn't lead worship during pandemic. So you could easily lose your gifting because of that. Obviously, we started Worship Lives on Instagram.
Yeah, I remember that.
So that was really beautiful. That was a way to connect to people. And I think people really, really wanted that. They really desired that. And we grew. Like, we grew. I mean, it was on Instagram, but we grew. People would come. People would anticipate that, you know, we did what we could within our capacity, right? So that's one of the ways I stayed in that practice of being a worship leader.
Right.
Do you sometimes say, I think that if I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I think something would have been lost.
Yeah.
I would listen to other churches' worship lists because I'm just like, just so that for the time that I do start leading worship again, I'm not starting from 2019.
Right.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
But it was difficult.
Absolutely.
And I think even now I'm still trying to find certain things. So, like, for example, in the UK, if I want to do an event, I know boom, 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 boom. Like, it's everything falls into place. Like, right now it's, okay, yes, we have our people. We're learning, you know, with worship. Well, we're building. And it's like, okay, but like, who's, you know, who do I really, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just building that community is probably one of the things that,
So basically you're talking about time and giving it time.
You have to give it time.
And just be patient with yourself. There was one thing you mentioned in your previous answer about mentorship. How critical is the role of a mentor to any worship leader? And is that something that you would encourage worship leaders to actually seek out for?
I think so, because being a worship leader, you're on the stage, you're in the spotlight.
Okay.
When there's light, everything is exposed.
Yes.
You're good and you're bad. You need somebody that can see the good in you and develop it and cultivate it. You need someone that can also see maybe the not so good and help you work on it to become a better person.
Yes.
Because you can't see everything about yourself, right? And they can, you know, without bias, kind of see, you know, where you're coming from and see potential. Like, again, without people seeing the potential in me, I wouldn't be here today.
Yes.
Point blank, period. Like, because I have quirks about me, for example. I'm very, actually very shy. People don't know that, but I'm super shy. It took people's confidence to push me to be like, no, you can actually do this. So I think having a mentor, they also have gone ahead of you. A mentor should be someone that's gone ahead of you that can help you not go through so many things. Do you know what I mean? And what happens is they can help you even create the good habits to sustain you.
Right.
So for example, the working on your vocals, the spiritual side of things, the praying, the fasting, the waiting on God, the level of consecration you need for where you're going to as well. Like, I didn't know what consecration was. It was my mentor who taught me that, hey, there's something called consecration. Like, this is what it is. This is how we do it. As you grow yourself, you will now start learning how you also should consecrate yourself, because everyone's journey is different.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think having a mentor is so crucial. I have mentors. And can I just say something?
Yep.
Sometimes you have mentors that you can touch. Sometimes you have mentors that you can't touch. The one you should place a priority on are the ones that you can touch. They're the ones that will help you be the most effective. What I mean is, there are people that I look up to that I am inspired by. I see some of their practices, as long as they share it, But I can only get from them. Like, I can't necessarily give to them, in the sense of they can't see the deep things in me that need to be worked out.
All right, gotcha.
And God works through people. So, yeah, it's not, it is effective. And sometimes some of us are looking for mentorship.
Go there.
What we're looking for is proximity.
Yes, talk about
it. We're looking for, you know, oh, I know this person. This person's my. You're not going to gain much when that's the focus. The mentor that doesn't have a name, doesn't have a platform, is probably going to be more effective for you than the person with the big name, because the big names don't necessarily have the time. So we need to have the balance of that. What I'm saying is, you can learn from them, but you need that person you can call in the midnight hour and be like, hey, I'm struggling with this, or hey, good news, so that you can, because there's a give and take aspect of it, right? So mentorship is, I know, you know this about me, I'm 100% for mentorship.
Yeah, and I think I heard something that, you know, oftentimes we pray to God for an open door. We pray to God to bring us into some certain places. And God graciously answers those questions. Sometimes he will bring you into spaces that you won't even ask yourself, what am I doing here?
Yeah, absolutely.
But the better prayer is not just open the door and put me in these spaces. God, when I'm there, help me to know why you put me there.
That's so good.
You know, because God can bring you into a space with a mentor, with someone that can shift the direction of your, or what you're doing. And if you don't know why God placed you there, you may be asking for a photo.
God.
You may be asking for an autograph. You may be asking for connection, rather than not sensing that God brought you here so that he can reveal something to you through them that can benefit where you are and what you need for where you need to go.
That's good.
So, being discerning about why God placed me in this room is very critical. And knowing why you're there, so that when you're there, you don't miss that opportunity. Because if you sit behind, if you sit in front of the person that you've longed to meet all your life, and the only thing you could ask them for is a photo, that is a missed opportunity. So in as much as we know that it's very important that we have mentors, you know that, and God sometimes will open those doors for us, be led by the Spirit of God, and allow God to, ask God to open your eyes. Why did you place me in this room? So that I don't miss the opportunity. But I'm glad you shared that, because as gifted people, as creatives, sometimes we think we don't need mentors.
oh, you will all, like, you will always need a mentor. Yeah, like, even your mentors have mentors. Like, I wonder why people would think that they don't need a mentor. And I, that's a question I would, why would you feel like you don't need someone?
Because as creatives, sometimes you could feel like, you know it all, like you're gifted. And be like, yeah, I'm gifted. I can figure this thing out on my own. And but also, let's also be very real. I know that some people have had bad experiences with mentors. Yeah. So maybe they've been burnt or they've been abused and all that. So that could also be that thing that maybe, I can't trust anyone anymore. So I understand that there's a level of responsibility on leaders, on mentors as well, to make sure that they're actually doing the right thing with the people God sent their way. So maybe some people have just been through that experience and they were like, I'm not going to trust anyone again with my life or with my journey because I just can't trust them, right? So, but nonetheless, I still pray that you will find healing. Amen. And I pray that God will lead you to the right ones. Amen. Because we all need accountability. Yeah. We all need someone that can see what we don't see, that can see way ahead of time and prepare us for what's ahead. Say, there's a pitfall here. Yeah. There is a detour here. Yeah. Don't take this route. Don't take this exit. Okay. And those things are very important to have a long-lasting ministry, to be, to still be doing this for years to come.
Yeah.
And not have fallen away, because why would you want to repeat the mistakes that can be avoided?
Agreed. I think also wanted to say there's also something called peer mentoring.
Yeah.
So like it's not just the mentors that, the ones that have gone ahead. Mm-hmm. There's people that we're walking side by side that, okay, we're doing the same thing or similar things, we're in the same field. You can have peer mentoring because somebody that's walking beside you, there's some areas that they're better at than you are. And vice versa. So it's not always, I need, the big shot. Sometimes it's actually just the person beside you.
So what does a lifestyle of worship look to you? What does it look like off the stage?
I think a lifestyle of worship, as I said before, is, being conscious of God in everything, right? However, in practical terms, one of the things I think we need to do is prioritize spending time with God. So that looks like having a devotional time, a set time that is you and God where you're praying.
Mm-hmm.
I think something that we stopped doing as worship leaders is we prepare for practice, but we stopped preparing and practicing for the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's just practical, spending time doing worship, like literally bring out a song, like get a list of songs and sing to God. Like, have your own time with God, like away from, I need to rehearse for Sunday or a conference or things like that. It's me reading my Bible and reading it properly, reading it well, reading it in context, looking for Jesus and not me. Because the Bible is not about me. Mm-hmm. It's for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about Jesus.
Yeah. Yep.
Period.
Yep.
And I think we need to go back to having a hunger for reading the word of God.
Yes.
Having a hunger for prayer.
Yes.
Having a hunger for fellowship.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's not difficult.
Yes.
In the sense of our spirit wants to do this, our flesh wants to do something else, right? So it's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have an excuse all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to not want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's constantly doing these things. And then obviously practically, just making worship my life, like in terms of like just having that constant like atmosphere around me. Like, I know certain people that there's certain songs they're not going to listen to, there's certain movies they're not going to watch, like there's certain jokes they can't be part of, they can't laugh at. Why? Because of their consecration.
Yes, yes.
Do you get what I mean? Even things like food, there's some food that they're not going to eat because they know that actually this food isn't good for my voice.
Yes.
And if I'm going to present something beautiful to God, then I need to be careful what I ingest. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's like, it's literally everything. It's how I relate to my family. Because I think we had this conversation the other day. I think Pastor William said this at Worship World Conference, that God is after our heart, but so is the enemy. So at every point in time, the enemy is after our heart. So is God after our heart. It's who we now decide to turn to that gets our heart.
Yes, yes.
So that's what I'm saying. Like my everything has to be like, okay, through the lens of God, if that makes sense. So,
yes. Now that's so good. Yes, there's always something longing for our desires.
Exactly.
Our attention. And you see, that is for God or for the world. So that's so good. What would you say is your has been your biggest challenge in the worship ministry, and how have you overcome that?
It's myself.
Talk about it.
In different ways.
Talk about it. Yep.
So it's myself in feeling like I'm inadequate.
Yes.
You know, we talk about this all the time. I keep on saying this. But you're like, Ruth, you're too self-aware of yourself.
Yeah.
And that can prevent you from showing up fully as who God wants you to be.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes. So like for me, it's like that has been a thing.
Okay.
Like other things have been maybe, again, it's myself.
Yeah, and how have you overcome that?
How have I overcome it? I have to bring everything to God. Like, and I know people don't want to hear this, but it's like we're constantly facing a battle between flesh and spirit.
Yes.
The only one that can help us is God. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot do this in your own strength.
No.
It's not possible.
Yes.
So when I say myself, like I said, it's my self-awareness. Like, literally, I would hear myself sing. I'd record something, hear myself sing, and I won't post it. I'm stopping God from working through me.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that's not right. Other things can be, obviously, conflict. Conflict within worship teams. Again, I don't know why I'm speaking this, but maybe somebody needs to hear it. The aspect of feeling inadequate. You are not inadequate. If you feel like God has called you to this, I'm not saying we can't be better at the skills that we have.
Yeah, get skills.
Right? Yep. Get training, get what you need, but you're not inadequate in and of yourself. When I said read the Bible, it doesn't mean that you're going to know every single thing in the Bible. It's a lifelong journey, right? Another thing that I know I've dealt with is learning how to minister also to the pastor of the house, in the sense of, if there's a vision in the house, learning how to adapt to that. I feel like sometimes we as worship leaders, or maybe like music directors, we have our own agenda of what we think worship needs to look like in church, and the songs we need to sing, and how we present ourselves. And there's the vision of the house. And it's learning how to balance the two.
Right.
Because obviously maybe you're the head of department, or like I said, you're a worship leader, you know, like maybe lead worship leader in, you know, the church, and you guys want to do something, and your pastor's like, hey, actually, this is what we're going to do. And it's like, don't forget, number one, everything is to God, but we still need to respect the leadership that we have. And I think sometimes we find ourselves in that imbalance, or is it not the competition that sometimes you face, even within your own team? You don't even know somebody's competing with you. You're just being yourself. And somebody else is competing with you, and having to remember that, number one, Jesus died for every single one of us here. So I have no right to treat my neighbor wrongly.
Yes.
But it's also dealing with my emotions, like, why is this person treating me this way? You know, some people might say maybe feeling of being overlooked.
Yes.
And I think we should embrace seasons of feeling overlooked, because it might never happen again. Do you see what I mean? Being hidden, being overlooked might never happen again, and you might miss that season. So for me, I would always say just embrace it. So those are some of the things, you know?
Yeah, and I think there is one thing that I've seen you say, or maybe I've heard you say, and I've seen you posted, that your gift is not for you.
It's not.
And I think it's very true. It's not for you. It's meant to bring glory to God and to be a blessing to people. And so when you're solely focusing on yourself, and me, then there's somebody that's not getting blessed by you not sharing your gift. There is always someone waiting at the other end of your obedience.
That's so good.
They're connected. Like, I've always talked about the story of Moses. God was the one that came to Moses. Moses wasn't praying to God, make me a deliverer, let me go deliver. It wasn't a prayer point, let me go deliver the people of Israel. No, God was the one that came to Moses. And when God came to Moses, God told Moses, I have seen the afflictions of my people, and I've heard their prayers. Now I am sending you.
That's so good.
So if you read that, you will realize that it's not about Moses at all.
No.
It was about the people cried to God, and God responded by looking for someone, and then found Moses and said, I'm going to send you to go deliver them.
And it was about his promise that he had made already. He needed to fulfill that promise. but he had to use somebody.
So, and then right after that, Moses made it all about himself.
Yes.
I cannot talk.
I started.
I'm this. I'm that. They will not believe me. What would they say? He started making it all about myself. And God was like, it's not about you. I knew all that about you before I came to you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's
and,
so good.
And yeah. I know what the enemy tried to do is to make us so self-conscious, yeah. self-aware.
Yeah.
Oh, you are not this. You don't have this. You don't have that. That disqualifies you from doing that. Not knowing that God came to you while he knew all that before.
That's so good.
And he still thought you were the right person for the job.
Yeah.
And so it's shifting that focus away from ourselves and trusting God that he knows best.
Yeah.
And just say, God, even though I still struggle in this area, I'm going to still walk in obedience.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it anyways, even when I'm scared. Yeah. And I'm still going to get it done.
Yeah.
So, how do you handle moments when you don't feel like worshiping?
Okay, let's just be very honest. I've not always yielded. I've not always been a good girl, okay?
Well.
Okay, yeah,
I can testify. Go
away. But... And I've been convicted of this recently, and I'm working through it, which is why I'm trying to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm working through this, like, real time. It's also being honest to God that this might not be what you feel like doing, and asking for help and then doing it.
Right.
That's just the way I see it. So how have I handled it? It's I remember there was a time when I was in a state of deep depression. And worship was the last thing I wanted to do.
Right.
Reading my Bible, talking, praying to God, the last thing I ever wanted to do. How I got through that moment to take me back to God all the time was I used music. Music that I know had gone in the presence of God that can just take me there. I'm not trying to figure it out. Or songs that I knew I had a journey with previously. Obviously, one of the songs or people that I was listening to was Dapiti Keys, because it just takes me right there.
Right.
Okay. It just helps me. Even if I'm not saying anything, my consciousness at that time was of God.
Praise God. Yeah.
And then obviously there's some songs that you're playing that, okay, I will now naturally start singing the songs along with it. And before you know it, I might actually turn it off and then continue by myself.
Yeah.
I think during that time also, I listened to Benita Jones
a
lot.
Right.
Because as you turn her on, she's already on fire. So I'm like, I didn't need to warm myself up.
But
what I'm trying to say is that sometimes you might need an aid. And there's nothing wrong with that, because the priority is I want to spend time with God.
Yes.
Sometimes it was I had to journal first before I could open up my mouth to even speak to God, because I was in such deep pain that I didn't know what to say to God, or I was scared I would say the wrong thing to God.
Right.
So it would be through the journaling, through the writing,
that
I would now be like, you know what, God, I know you're here with me. But I'd have written for like 2-3 pages before I can even utter one word.
Yes.
Second thing is community. And we don't do it well. Because you should be able to call your friend and say, I can't pray right now. I need you to help me pray. Can you pray for me? And your friend should be able to pick that call up and just take that moment and be like, let's pray. I'm going to drive over to your house. I'm going to take you on a walk. Because sometimes we need help.
Yeah.
Because like I said, we're always wrestling. We're always wrestling, you know. So just the practical things that I have done.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm listening to a sermon, or I've put on the audio Bible, things like that. Because like you said, you do not always feel like it. This year, one of the things I did was knowing that my devotion to God is very important to what we're doing. I said, you know what? I'm always tired.
Right.
I'm just going to do everything tired.
Right.
And that's what I've been doing.
So
it started off with, okay, 15 minutes of prayer. Before you know it, I'm now enjoying the prayer.
It
is a bit longer. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
But at first it was like, okay, 15 minutes, what do we do here? You know, because sometimes if you're out of practice or something, or if you think, because I wanted to stop like making it a thing that I have to do and a thing that I wanted to do. So it was like, okay, I enjoy 15 minutes, but I can be pushed. And now when I don't do like, I don't know what the time frame is, but I just know, hey, I haven't hit anything yet. I still need to keep going.
Right, yeah.
It gets to a point where I'm not looking at my time anymore. I just know that
They're just flowing.
I think I need to continue, So I just feel like those are some of the practical things I've done.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really need people to be honest with themselves. The things we're meant to do, we don't feel like doing.
Things that are good for us, yes.
The things that are good for me, the salad that is good for me, and the broccoli that is good for me.
Good things don't always feel good.
Good things don't always feel good.
And I think somebody said that feelings are a terrible leader.
Absolutely.
So don't let your feelings lead you, because there are some things you will never do. Some things you have to start doing by discipline.
Exactly.
And then feelings will catch up.
Exactly.
Because if you don't do them by discipline, you're never going to do them. And some of them is really spending time with God. And we have time for everything else.
Everything else.
But then to actually say 15 minutes, I want to be with Jesus, and your mind and your whole being is present in that moment, it will take discipline. If you wait to feel like doing it,
you won't do it.
You will never do it. So thank you for sharing. I think that's very important for us to really understand and know, as even worship leaders, because we can get caught up with, leading others in worship, and it's become something that we do and we've mastered how to do it, that we don't want. That it becomes a struggle for us to worship ourselves. You can be so caught up. If they give you the microphone, you can lead beautifully.
Agreed.
But without the microphone, without the stage, without the light, without the people, can you still create time to worship yourself? And even when you don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my question to you, next one is, as we begin to wrap up, is if you could see one thing shift in the culture of worship teams, what would it be and why?
I'm going to sound like a broken record.
Go for it.
I would say community.
Okay.
And what I mean by community is realizing that we all lead worship.
Mm.
It's not the main person that's leading worship. Mm. It's that we all play a role in leading worship. The keyboardist, the drummer, the production team, the guy on the lyrics. We all lead worship together. And flowing from that, making sure that we do life together.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place we're not getting to right now in terms of worship because we're very individualistic. We're not doing life together. I don't know what my neighbor next to me is going through, whether good or bad. So it doesn't create that closeness that we need, that when we lift up our voices in worship, the heavens open.
Yes.
The Tower of Babel, the reason why it was going to work was because they were all in one mind and one heart.
United.
They were united.
Mm, yes.
And part of that was because they were doing everything together. Mm-hmm. Think about it logistically. If you're building something, you're constantly together, constantly spending time together.
Yes,
so
yes.
Where we're not spending time together, because don't forget, a lot of us have huge churches or huge worship teams, in the sense of in a month, you might actually not have to lead worship or be, part of the people in worship team. So that means you're not seeing anybody until 4 weeks.
Yeah.
The culture I grew up in is whether you're leading, whether you're not leading, whether you're singing, whether you're not singing, whether you're playing, whether you're not playing, you come to every single rehearsal.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if there's 4 weeks in a month, you're going to be at every rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we did life together. We celebrated birthdays. We mourned together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so when it was time for us to lead worship,
mm-hmm.
There was a unity there. There was a communal heart that meant that things flowed easily.
Yeah.
And I feel like the culture that we're in now, and I get it because we don't want to overburden each other because, it is a lot of work, but I feel like we need to go back to community.
Mm-hmm.
The culture of community, the culture that we do this together, the culture that we do life together, and also prayer.
Yes.
A lot of us were not praying, and I will hold my hand up and say, you know what? I understand. I've been there. Sometimes it's difficult to, again, if you don't prioritize God, everything else will fill up your day.
Yeah.
And that's the truth, right? Yeah. So going back to the place of prayer, because in the place of prayer, we get to know God. The place of prayer, we are transformed. We're renewed. Even our strength is renewed.
Yes.
We get ideas in the place of prayer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We get clarity.
Mm-hmm.
We get comfort in the place of prayer. There's a renewal in the place of prayer. So if we're constantly week in, week out, just singing, eventually the river's going to run dry.
Yes,
do you know what I mean?
Yes,
so I think for me, it's the communal part. It's the prayer part. I mean, I could say other things, but I think those are the main things. And learning not to make worship a show, but making it an experience.
Wow.
But that starts with my experience at home.
Yes, yes, yes. Personal. Before. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
No, and I think those are great points. I wouldn't have said community. So I'm glad you said that, because it's very important to the culture, to the synergy of the team, right? It's not just we come and we just play and we just sing and then we don't.
Plug and play. And we just go.
And, and like you said, I think, and if you, even if you remember the history of the church, in the book of Acts, the Bible said that they had all things in common. That's what they were breaking bread from house to house.
Agreed.
That was what church was all about. Is the breaking of bread together, sitting together at the table, having all things in common. They were sharing all things among themselves, that nobody was lacking anything. That's where church began. That was where church is meant to be. But now we've become so, even though we have so many things connecting us, social media and rest, but we've become so...
There's the illusion of connection.
Not really there. And I believe that was a good model for a church, is the, you know, togetherness. And I'm glad you brought that up, because we need to be more communal. We need to see each other not as competitions.
Bro, let me not even talk.
You know, not as people who are trying to... No, we're all chasing the same thing.
And that should be Jesus.
And it shouldn't be, oh, I've achieved this, I've achieved that. No, it's about why are you here?
Yeah.
And fostering that community is very important to what we do. Last question, maybe second to last question.
Sure.
Yeah. What advice would you give to a young, emerging worship leader right now who feels overlooked, they feel overlooked, and they feel discouraged?
I would say... the place you're in is still important, because whilst you feel overlooked, there's somebody that's looking at you and that is proud of you.
Amen.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So what I would say is, in that place of feeling overlooked, find what you're meant to learn. Mm-hmm. One of my mentors, she said that, and she is a phenomenal worship leader, a phenomenal singer.
Yeah.
She said that in her choir, there was a time that I think she was a teenager at the time, or just like a young adult. And she wanted to join the choir. So she joined the choir, and then they asked her to go and sit in the back where the conga was. Mind you, she's a singer.
Wow. Wow.
However, she said that when she was there, that's where she learned solfa. So she was like, if she wasn't there,
as
she was in the front, she would never have actually had the opportunity to learn that skill. That's a skill I'm trying to learn. Like, I really want to learn. So I feel like in the place of feeling or being overlooked, there's something for you to learn. Where was David?
Behind. In the back.
David was in the back.
The backside.
Tending to sheep. That's where he learned how to kill a lion, how to kill a bear, how to write songs.
Devotion.
How to look after sheep. And then what he learned there was the exact thing he was going to use when he became
king. Amen. Yes. Yes.
So I get it. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get it. There's nothing wrong with the feeling that you have that, why am I not being used? But look for what you can learn there and develop it, so that when they do give you the mic, there will not be problem. We will not be saying, please go back. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah. I mean, every season matters.
Every season matters.
Yeah. Even when you're overlooked, maybe God is just trying to prepare you for a bigger and greater work.
And maybe just trying to protect you. Maybe protect you.
Yes.
It was even recent, wasn't it? In the last couple of years, I was saying, why not me? Why not me?
Yeah.
And then when we now found out, why not me? I was like, I'm good.
It was good.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me. So I think
sometimes too, we just need to be patient. Because you can leave a season prematurely when you're not ready yet. And God, like you said, is protecting you. He's allowing you to stay there for a little bit longer, because it's protecting you, and you should embrace that.
Agreed.
Well, thank you so much, Ruth. Before we go, is there anything exciting that you're working on that we should know about, or we should keep an eye out for?
Yeah, anything? I mean, I'm working on some music.
Okay.
And by God's grace, it'll be released. I don't know when. No. In all honesty, I've been working on this for a while, and I think it's coming together. We're in a good place, and it will be coming out very soon.
Okay. If people would like to find you, get in touch, how can they do that?
Yeah, everywhere you look, social media, Instagram, everywhere, I'm Ruth Oladeru. Follow me on YouTube, guys. No, on YouTube. On YouTube is where we host the Worship Flow live sessions. So every week we release worship sessions, and it's just a place for you to come worship, like creating that atmosphere in your home, help you with your devotional time. Every week we release a new video.
And then sometimes when you're doing chores.
I listen to everything when I'm doing chores.
Keep the worship atmosphere going.
Yeah, honestly. So Ruth Oladeru, wherever you plug in.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much once again, Ruth. I know we'll see you at home, but
we'll see now.
But it's so great to have you be a part of this. And thank you all so much for tuning in and for watching this and for listening to this. Don't forget, make sure you eat, like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't done so. And until next time, pray the blessings of God over you, and we'll see you soon. God bless you. Bye.